G'day and welcome to Aussie Vision. I'm Dale.
And g'day, I'm Mike.
And welcome to another episode about all things Eurovision now that we have nine songs. Well, not quite nine songs, is it, Mike?
No, it's kind of eight and a half this time.
There's a certain country who hasn't confirmed that had a national final in Iceland, which we'll get to at the very end.
Yes.
But also today, we did have Australia come out, and we're not actually going to be talking about them in this podcast, are we?
No, because we did a special little one for Australia, but very happy that they came out, and also very happy with the song, personally. I love it.
I love it. I'm happy, and I'm very proud of it. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Australia, you can go and listen to that separate podcast.
Yeah, spoiler alert, we like it.
Yeah. Shock, horror. Aussie Vision likes Australian entry. Cool. All right. Well, I think we should probably crack onto it because not only do we have eight and a half songs, nearly all of them are pretty damn good. So I'm quite excited to get through this.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a good one. And I don't think there's any better place to kick off, Dale, than with one of the most anticipated songs of the season. Let's have a listen to the United Kingdom, Ollie Alexander and Dizzy. So won't you make me dizzy from your kiss? Well, as I said, Dale, a lot of buzz around Ollie and the UK this year. What do you think of Dizzy?
I really like this song. I really like this song. And this is kind of maybe around what I expected. I think people probably had unfairly high expectations. Do I see a winner with this? No. But I think what I see is something that is going to really work, I think, for Ollie. I think it's very much around who he is as an artist. I think it's in a nice range for him vocally. And as we saw last year, getting a vocal right is really key. No matter how good your song is, you've got to be able to go and perform it. And I think they'll be able to play around with staging and stuff. And look, I just couldn't kind of get it out of my head. And I think it's a good studio track.
Yeah, I'll kind of agree with all those comments there. And particularly, we always talk about authenticity. This feels like an Ollie Alexander track. And it's really good quality, modern pop that is relevant to the domestic UK market. So that's a big tick. We've come a long way from a few years ago. So I know there was a bit of gnashing of teeth because people probably did have too high an expectation of what was about to come. Look, personally, I like it as well. I love the 80s inspiration they have in there. That sort of Pet Shop Boys references, you can definitely hear them. The production works for me, maybe a little heavy-handed sometimes, but overall, I think the whole package really works.
Yeah, exactly. Stole my talking points, particularly about Pet Shop Boys. Lot of strong influence there. Look, it's been a big part of it. And it's not just because he was in the show, It's a Sin, but there are some very, there's some references there around It's a Sin from Pet Shop Boys. That talky word thing that they did. And it's really interesting. People kept saying, oh yeah, it sounds like a song from 2005 for the contest. And I was like, I don't hear what? That. I hear something that's kind of a homage to that late 80s into early 90s sound, particularly amongst maybe, I guess, the queer community. Yep. I think it's very much the kind of music, and therefore maybe I'm liking it a lot because I'm bang on target demographic from this of a slightly aging homosexual.
Luke, I think you made a good comment about keeping it the vocal range that I think he's comfortable in. Let's face it, I loved May Muller last year, but unfortunately we got to the live performance, she couldn't really produce it. So it's really important, I think, for him to be able to produce this song. And I think it's very much in his wheelhouse. I will say though, perhaps in a negative, the song itself doesn't have particular moments naturally in the song. So therefore, I definitely feel presentation here is where they need to bring it. So, you know, big job here for the BBC. You got the man you wanted. Like, back him. Let's stage it. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. I think that's the thing. Like, yes, there's a pro of being within there, being a good studio track. The question is about this live, because the topography in a way is quite flat, and it just kind of runs through the kind of song. But I think what works for it is it's really well produced. It sounds fantastic, and Ollie's a good name, and it's a good, you know, song that sounds like something out of the UK, and generally juries will give it some love. And they've got the great advantage, not only of going straight to the grand final, of not having to worry about going through 100% televote. Mm-hmm. So they can kind of do a nod to the jury and just get some points on the board. Don't be in that bottom few. And I think that's going to be a victory in some way.
Yeah, one of my notes here is I can see the juries respecting this composition and also the name of Ollie Alexander. Juries aren't living on another planet. They know who these people are. So I do think this has got jury points. And that ultimately underpins a result. We'll see what the public think of it when, in comparison to everybody else on the night. But I think, yeah, it shouldn't be languishing towards the bottom, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, it'll all depend. I do think he has some, and we'll, a few people we're going to talk about later who may be stealing his thunder. And I think if he was the only one kind of in his part, then maybe it'd be a bit better. But ultimately, UK, you've got to remember, take away Sam Ryder, struggle street, right? So I think one result has got people's expectations very high, and there's a lot of great new branding, and it's not so toxic in the UK, and that's good. But they do like to build something and knock it down in the UK. So I'm just really scared that, you know, if so he comes like a 16th, 17th, 18th, it'll be seen as a failure when actually it'll be one of their best results this century still.
Yeah. No, that's a cold, hard fact, right?
It is.
I mean, ultimately, I do think they've got a very good package here. I think the UK should be very pleased with this entry. It's about just executing it now to its full potential, because I think there's a lot of great elements there to work with.
Exactly. And, you know, our rule, we have this rule, and we ask each other this question on the pod or just at home. If this was Australia's entry, would you be happy with it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would be too. I'd be happy with it.
Good, good song.
And not many songs we say that about.
Well, Dale, we have a new favourite in the odds for the contest coming out of Croatia. Oof, let's have a listen to Baby Lasagna and Rim Tim Tuggy Dim. There's no going back. My presence fades to black. Yeah, there's no going back. My anxiety is sex. Well, we alluded to this one on our last podcast, and it got through the national final. Let's have a chat about Croatia, Dale.
Yeah, and it didn't just get through, it romped it home. It got pretty much 10 times the next person's vote in the tally vote.
Oh, it did a Tencha Geras, did it? Except for this one's going.
Well, a lot of people, it actually got very similar in terms of percentage points as Cha 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 did, and when it won so easily. But the difference also with this is it had a lot more songs to compete against at like 16 or 17. Though saying that, the quality of the UMK songs that Cha 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 had to beat was a lot harder. So I kind of put the result kind of on par about how much of a televote win that was. It was huge.
Yeah.
And don't forget, for those who don't know, Baby's Lasagna was a reserve. He wasn't even in the initial lineup of Croatia's Dora. He was the first emergency.
Alternate,
And when someone got kicked out or pulled out, he went in. What were they thinking? Because there was dirge in that. That national final was not good.
Someone had to go full Nancy Kerrigan on somebody, like, just to get him in, you know? Yeah. Like, kind of ridiculous to think. Maybe they were just a little risk averse in their sort of choosing of the lineup.
That's the
only thing. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Maybe they were thought they were filling the same sort of genre.
True, true. All right, well, let's talk about the song. What do you think of it?
This, for me, is just the big impact song we have of this season. And, you know, I'm not going to mention the Finnish man, but that was pretty much the same feeling I had last year. Like, personally, I think this song really, really works, because it's not the most, smooth song the first time you hear it, but I do think all the bits add up to things that really stick with you, and that is what you want in a competition song.
Yeah, there's something really, you know, there's just a magic dust that songs have. You know, they're not doing anything new, but their ingredients all together just come up with something fantastic. You know, it almost sounds like a heavy kind of rocky kind of song with that driving.
Which is not my genre.
No, that's driving throughout. Then you've got these kind of traditional elements of it. I think
have a little electro dance break in there, like towards the end, which really works. I don't know why, but it just works.
It does, doesn't it? And, you know, I think with it is, you know, it's one of those ones where it's kind of, a lot of people might look at it, and it's definitely not a joke, but like, think it, it's very Eurovision inverted commas, right?
Exactly.
But at the same time, the musicality is, you know, quite good and hooky as F, right? And also, the story is fantastic. I love the story. And it's a story that's going to resonate with, like, most of Europe about having to leave home and, like, find something else and just have this one... Like, it's all about him having this one last night before he has to leave.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant. And, like, even though you have the silly lyrics around the cat, it's actually really quite, like... sad and emotional as well. It's really nice.
I agree. I think there's such great potential for staging of this. We did see, I didn't think the national final was dreadful or anything like that. It just felt a little, like, basic. And obviously he was an alternate, so he probably hasn't worked on that for a while or whatever. So I think there's so many elements here that can work. His aesthetic is good. Like, he's a good-looking young man.
Oh, yes, you've mentioned that a few times.
Well, it doesn't hurt, Dale, let's put it that way, rather than some goblin taking the stage. So I just think there's another gear here, definitely. And if they can find that gear, and I think they have to find that gear to make it the real contender it needs to be, or it should be.
Yep.
I mean, Croatia can be a little hit and miss, let's face it, with the staging.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I don't think they need a wild narrative with this. Like, I never wanted to say the word carrier during the whole season, but I will. His narrative throughout his performance was that, like, ballroom dancing thing. You know what I mean? So it had something to stitch it all together, but it had nothing to do with ballroom dancers. They weren't your focus.
Yep.
So they've got to find something to just kind of stitch it all together and keep it cohesive. And if they can do that, I think they're on, I don't know about a winner, but they're on something very, very good.
Yeah. Look, straight up, it's not a cardio cha-cha-cha or anything like it, but it's in the wheelhouse. And it's in the wheelhouse of how casual fans will see it. So the one thing I would say is avoid puffy sleeves.
Yes.
It worked for national final, that's fine. And I know it's traditional. I know it's playing on the national costume, etc. I'd love to see him in something of a zhuzhed up version of what he has in the music video. And I think that's a lot cleaner. Keep that aesthetic, keep traditional Croatian Balkan look and make it modern. And then just do that kind of, like, with the dancing, and just make it bigger, make it better. And he needs to get his stagecraft down. That was one of his first times performing, like, live properly. And so what he was really kind of lacking in that semi-final was stage presence.
Yep.
He just didn't have it at all. And the final really improved, but he has a long way to go. But I think hopefully he gets out on that circuit and it builds confidence and whatever. And I just think he will have it. And in its simplicity, not everyone has to be a Cardi or a Loreen or whatever. It's about connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can just get that right, it has potential. Again, I don't think a win, but a very good result.
Well, Dale, we're off to one of the stalwarts of Eurovision this time. We're going to go off to the Netherlands. Let's have a listen to Joost with Europapa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europapa, Europapa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europapa, Europapa. Well, he was announced early, and a lot of people have been waiting for this one. What do you think of Joost?
It is bloody brilliant. It is amazing.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and you know what? I can't really put my finger exactly what it is about this. And, you know, I've kind of always been like, let's not make Eurovision a joke. And I don't think this is a joke entry, but perception will be, definitely, right?
Could be.
But I just think it's brilliant. I just think it's just so hooky. And I love the way it moves throughout different kind of Euro dance genres throughout the years. Like, we've got stuff that sounds very early kind of 2000s general club stuff to the full-on kind of ravey early 90s. Into, like, other, that kind
Gabba.
Of keyboard, yeah, the Gabba stuff. And I just love it. I just think it's so good. And he, when we talked before about Croatia not maybe having stage presence or what, I mean, Joost has, like, presence. He's just got personality. He's just got it. He's got charisma.
No, fair enough. I'm going to interrupt you because I think you could go on for quite a while there, Dale. I'm going to say, first and foremost, the earworm of the year. Like, the minute you hear this, you just cannot get it out of your head for about 2 hours, even if you try. there's just so many hooks. It's just so catchy. It obviously does capture the zeitgeist of some of the pop music in the moment with that 90s, 2000 Eurodance. And look, I went two-footed in on Finland for being of a similar genre, let's say. But this just puts it all over Finland. This is fully realized. It has musical merit. It has a message. It has everything that Finland doesn't. I really do like this. I mean, the obvious comparison is with Finland, let's face it, because they're of a very similar genre. And this could have gone massively cheesy, but somehow with the production and the way it flows, it hasn't gone down that road.
Yeah. And it's, look, it's going to divide people, because even the first, I've watched it the first time and I was like, I kind of feel like I shouldn't like this, but I really do. And it's then like at first I was like, oh, maybe it's about like sixth or seventh in my rankings. And I just knew that I loved it a lot more. Like, I was almost embarrassed about it, but I was fully embracing. In some days, it's my first.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
At the moment, because I don't think it'll end up being my first, but some days, it's my first. That's how much I like this.
I think it's because it's got layers. And I think you just kind of touched on a point there. Will those layers be obvious to the viewers on the night? That is a concern to me, because for a first-time watcher, this could easily just be written off as you know, oh, God, look at this cheap cheese, right? So I think that's where the presentation is going to be very important here. They're not going to be able to get the whole story across. They can't. It's just too complicated. But you've got to be able to do something here, I don't know, that will ground it without being too crazy. You got to go crazy at times, though.
Yeah.
Like the Gab a bit. Oh my God, if they're not stomping, I'm gonna riot. But at the same token, not everything can be headless chicken.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right. There's a very fine line actually with this. There's a nice little safety zone.
There's a sweet
getting
spot.
This right. Your sweet spot, yeah. And I think I am worried. About, I mean, I'm loving it, right? And actually, you had a good chat to Corey, who's one of the Dutch fan press. And, you know, without talking about Australia too much, we've probably gone for a video that's not about capturing people through the video, and the song speaks for itself, where I think this is very strong on video. Let's make a big impact, and it has with the views. How that translates live, I think we're going to have opposite types of approaches, where I think Australia's going to come alive and exceed expectations. I don't think you can match that music video and do as well on stage. And I think it could end up being a mess.
It could
be messier than Amsterdam on a Saturday night.
If I see a tricycle or a mobility scooter, I'm slapping somebody. I'm going full Spanish national final on somebody, because that just stay away from it. I think what was really clever with the video and getting this attention is I feel like this is getting momentum. So all of a sudden, if you start charting in Europe and the countries around you, then people know who you are when you hit the stage.
Yes.
So you've got your brand, you've got your base. So I think it's very clever, very, very clever from Netherlands.
I think they've got to go hard in on that that approach, because I think of Italy 2018 with that. I mean, normally love Italian music, but that was just shouty men. But it had been, you know, the message was so strong in a very different way, and this message is still strong. But it was all over Europe. It was already built. It's got into a zeitgeist or something, and the feeling, and people voted for it. He needs to build that profile across Europe.
Yeah.
Because I think if it just appeared on stage and no one knew what it was beforehand, they'd be like, okay, that was a mess. And some people like it. A lot of people will hate it.
Because the first time I saw it, I just went, oh, wow. I don't even know what to process that. Like, what's the windmill
burning
down?
I've got the text message
down?
What you said when you first saw it.
I don't think they need to be shown. But I was just like, why is the windmill burning down or whatever? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I just had so many questions. But you're right. If people have prior knowledge, this works.
Yeah.
This does not get dismissed as trash.
And it could, because for those who don't know, there's a very big pro-European message within there, and that collective European identity. And when you start to have the right wingers go against you who don't necessarily agree with that, that's going to give you free PR.
Good stuff.
He'll be like, yeah, come for me, please.
Clearly going down the right road then.
Yep.
So obviously from your reaction, Dale, jury winner.
Well, look, this is definitely a public vote thing. But you know what? It's one of those things, if they get the sweet spot right and it does well, then juries do reward.
Yeah.
Like Cha Cha Cha. Everyone is like, oh, the jury's... It came fourth in the jury. Now,
exactly.
That song with... Bless him, he can't really sing that well. It was overall impression. It was the song. It was everything about it. It wasn't
the vibe.
A traditional, you know, jury type song.
It was the vibes, Dale.
It was the vibes. And this could be the vibes, but I don't think they should be relying on the jury vote.
Okay, Dale, on this time we're off to one of our little countries there in Europe. We're off to Switzerland for Nemo and the Code. Oh boy, a lot going on in this one, Dale, so let us know your thoughts on Switzerland.
Yeah, often we don't get to catch like the live premiere, it might just be live work, different time zones, etc. But we, you know, we sat down to watch Switzerland and I wasn't particularly excited. I like out of all the countries that I just don't often really feel anything for it, Switzerland. Like, no offense to the nation, it's just there, right?
Are you telling me you're neutral on Switzerland? Well, is that what you're telling me?
They're just there, right? They're neutral on themselves, right? And so I just never really get that excited or hate against it. Generally have to really wow me, and this wowed me. Like, I thought Nemo just, like, the video is fantastic. Each carriage is bringing a different genre of music. Mm-hmm. And somehow he ties it all together from rap to opera and everything in between in somehow a cohesive bow. It's really quite brilliant and bonkers.
First word I written, wow. There's something really interesting with this. Like, there's a lot going on at times, but we sat down and watched that video for the first time and I didn't feel overwhelmed. I felt like I got it, which tells me they got the journey correct, and I love perhaps the train is about the journey. It's an unusual song, but it still remains contemporary for me as well. You know, if you're going to start introducing opera into a song, it can start to date pretty quickly. It doesn't feel like that at all. So I don't know how they did it with all this going on, but again, it feels cohesive.
Yeah, and it certainly had, and the one thing I will compare it, even though it's not the same, of course, but just to show how well they've done, is Zero Gravity, right? A lot of operatic in Zero Gravity, but there was actually this really driving electronic kind of pop song at times with that as well. And I would say, particularly because of the way it was staged, it went to theatre. It's theatrical, and yes, opera often can. This never feels theatrical. Nemo's found a way to bring this together to feel like it's a contemporary pop song that I could hear on the charts, and it's using opera. Like, it just shouldn't make sense, but it does.
What works for me really well is the rapping part.
Yeah, it's
good.
That's
what I think brings it back to, like, it's not just spoken word. I have to say, for me, the challenge for this is going to be the performance.
Yeah.
That video works brilliantly. How does this all come together in the one stage with the one performer and, you know, I don't know, motion, videos, smoke? This is not a Sacha Jean-Baptiste moment, I think, for me. And I love her, but she's sleek and she's minimal. This is not sleek and minimal. And Switzerland do like Sacha. Maybe not one for the Sacha well.
Totally. And I think it is very similar to the Netherlands issue of trying to bring all these different things together in something that is cohesive. And I think for Nemo, they have something to a bigger challenge. I think there's more vocal things to do, technically more difficult than I think maybe what Joost has. So okay, this is a challenge, but it's one of those ones, if they get it right, it's going to be monumental, but God, it could go off the tracks really easily.
Yeah, I agree. If they do hit the sweet spot, this is screaming like top 10 for me. If it goes a little wrong, could just seem a little bit dinky kind of thing. I don't know. I don't think they will be. I think that their vocal's going to be amazing. We've seen what they can do as far as their vocal goes, etc. It's just about getting that presentation right. And to be honest, this is one of the most intriguing entries I have seen, not only this year, but for quite a few years. And I love it.
Yeah, just impact. And just one last thing on it, the lyrics. It's just so clever because Nemo is non-binary, and the way that they talk about the code, the O's and the ones, and you definitely feel like you're getting that journey from them going all the way through and having that self-discovery and that self-acceptance to go back again and just live their best life. And you feel that in the music video and in the song. I love the lyrical component. I love a lot about this.
Well, Dale, next we're off to the seventh state of Australia nowadays. We're off to Cyprus, and we're going to have a listen to Ciliacapsis and Liar. God, Dale, an accessible pop song. This is just unheard of in 2024. Who's doing this kind of classical retro music?
I just love the fact that a kind of pretty simple but well done med pop bop is a unique selling point this year. Pop Girly is like, she is standing out as the most unique artist this year. Now, can I just say, look, first of all, Cilia, for those who don't know, is Australian, 17-year-old, Sydney cider, obviously roots back to Cyprus, of course. Yep.
Television presenter, singer, dancer, like incredible talent.
She's sickening. She's like the Jermaine of Eurovision. Oh, she's good at everything, but I'm sure she's lovely compared to Jermaine. Now, I am relieved with this because I didn't want to have a situation where we had an Australian artist that I had to pretend to like for the season, as in terms of the song. Mm. I was worried about what this might be. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. This is a lot better than I expected. I knew she was a great artist, but I mean, I know it's not doing anything new, but it does it well. It is a bop and it stands out, and she's given herself every chance.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's some really, really good elements in this song, and she's one of them, first of all. She, like, if you see that video, she holds the camera. If you see her social media, she's just incredible. This isn't reinventing the wheel, but what it does really, really well. And that's all you want. There's still room at Eurovision for a good, solid pop song. Like, you know, Ask Blanka from Poland. Exactly. You know what I mean? And I know this was written off because apparently the song's been shopped around for a while. I don't know. Maybe they finally found the right artist for it. You know what I mean? Like, it seems to work.
Sometimes you just get the right thing in the right year. You know, even though it may be a few years old, if it was in another year, it would probably really struggle because it'd be up against a lot of other girl bops. It's standing out. I do think, obviously, she has competition in the semi-final because she's in the same semi as Luxembourg. Mm. Now, I'd say Luxembourg's also got a bit of a girl bop in a very different type of way, but they probably are going to compete against each other a little bit there. So, I mean, they could both get through, or I think one of them will at least, but both could. But I think then she's kind of got a bit of competition there, but they will bring the stage show. Cyprus. Oh, they always bring the stage
show.
Do
not count out Cyprus. Like, even people last year with Andrew Lambrou were saying, oh, this isn't going to get through, blah, blah, blah. Sailed through. Yep. Even when they missed out in 2022 with Ella, it still got top 10 in the tally vote. This, if they get the whole performance right, and I think they will, she is a performer, this is going to land and people are going to vote. So I think there's going to be some gnashing of teeth when she makes that top 10 in the semi-final, because I'm putting her through. I think this is strong enough. And they'll be scratching their heads going, again, like, how did Cyprus get through? Like,
how did it not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how it does go and how it comes together. I think she'll do a great job, but still, she is 17. It's a big stage. I'm sure it'll be all good, but there's still a lot to see about what we end up with. But I think she's given herself every chance.
Yeah, absolutely. What an exciting opportunity for Cilia. All right, Dale, we're off to our lovely central European country of Austria next. And let's have a listen to Carleen and We Will Rave. When the darkness hits and we can't be saved, we run the dun dun dun. Well, a 90s, 2000s Eurodance-inspired entry, Dale. Revolutionary. Give us your thoughts on this one.
in Austria's defense, they've been the club kids the last 3 years.
I was going to bring that up later.
Yeah, but no, they have. And this is good. Like, they're owning this space because what else is there to own from Austria? They don't really have a brand at Eurovision. They don't. There's a lot of countries have a brand and what people expect.
Mm-hmm.
So they've created this now and people are starting to expect a bit of a kind of club bop or a bit of a dance bop going on. And this has delivered it. You know, it's very, very early 2000s. This reminds me of some of those wild CD compilations I used to buy back in the early 2000s when I was going out clubbing for the first time. And I'm kind of living in that retro-ness of the whole thing. I think it's really good without really grabbing me like it has for some people.
I'm going to agree. I thought you loved this. Not the last bit. I think there's a simplicity here, but my God, it works. It just really, really works. There is something so catchy about that chorus. I listen to this and I am singing it for the next 5 hours. It's also in a semi-final that there's a lot of different genres going on. And I think it's only Netherlands in up-tempo with her. So this could really stand out. But having said that, God, we've seen Austria dog it so many times. Again, let's go back to Halo. That was wonderful in the studio, and it just died like a pig when it was live. So, fingers crossed, we're not heading down that road.
I mean, last year was they were saved by the catchiness of the song.
Yeah,
There's a reason that Who the Hell Is Edgar bombed in the tally vote, and it wasn't just their running order.
Yeah,
it just wasn't great live, and the staging was a bit confusing. They didn't have any of the magic of what they had from the video. It just was a catchy song, and that's why it did well in the semis and did okay in the final. So I think there's a question mark about how that'll come up. This isn't as catchy as Who the Hell Is Edgar. It's fun. I feel like it's quite lightweight. I saw people on Twitter talking about this as a winner, and I was like, are you insane? I mean, I know the kids sometimes, but come on.
People think Moldova's going to win, though.
So, look, I think this should be something I love, and I just like it. I actually don't seek it out. If it's on, I'm happy with it. But out of all the kind of like Eurodance stuff, I'm kind of looking for something a bit more special, and this is kind of a bit run-of-the-mill, weirdly. If it was on its own, I'd be like probably frothing over it.
I don't know. There's something that does feel a bit one-paced here and one note. And even when they released the video, I think in the last 24 hours, and all this We Will Rave, and there's not even any raving on there.
No raving.
We've got a lot of topless kind of good-looking men and her. But apart from that, I'm just like, oh, Austria, what are you doing? So I don't know. I'm going to need to see this live before I make any kind of judgment on this, because this could be really good or it could just be a complete halo.
Well, I think also it's going to go off in the stadium. I'd love to be there. That'd be so much fun. But so did Cascada back in 2013.
You leave them alone.
But to me, it's kind of feeling the same type of song and probably might get the same type of result.
Possibly. No, well, I think they'd be pretty happy to make the final, to be honest.
Oh, I think people expect him more than that.
Well, next, Dale, we're off to one of the real powerhouses of Eurovision. Traditionally, let's head off to Serbia. This is Teodora Raimonda. Well, once again, Dale, a novelty act. We have a female ballad.
I know, really.
Remember 2017? Like half the field was female ballads. This time, like, we're searching around for a female ballad, but we have one from Serbia.
We do. And, you know, Teodora got there by winning the Serbian national final, which I'll just call PZE, because it's no one needs to hear me butcher pronunciation. She won the jury vote and was second in the public vote. There was a kind of controversial public vote winner.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, she got through in both sides of it. And it was, again, a really good national final. The production values in Serbia are amazing. We have an Australian Green Room host in Stefan Popovic, yes, which is fantastic. And there was an amazing ABBA medley. And that was my favorite part about PZE of the songs, because this to me is dull.
Oh.
This to me is just, where's something to grab onto with this song? This is just a ballad with no kind of hooks. nothing to kind of have a moment of. There's some lovely production values of the whole thing, but I don't know who this is for. I don't know who's voting for this. I may be having a massive blind spot for it because people seem to like it, but I just don't see this working at Eurovision.
Interesting. I've written here, I like the atmospheric feel of the song, and I think there is an audience for this. I think there is an audience for this kind of Balkan ballad. Not that it's a traditional Balkan ballad.
It doesn't sound like a Balkan ballad.
It sounds more like a modern Balkan ballad type of thing, rather than a traditionally kind of one. I think the national final performance showed she can certainly sing it, but at the same token, it wasn't really that hard. Maybe it's my own expectation. With a Balkan ballad, I want a Navena from, like, 2019 who grabs the song, gives me power vocals, shakes the song by the scruff of the neck and throws it away kind of thing. This is quite limp, really.
I want a melody, I want a hook, I want a moment, I want a something.
And I'm not getting any of them.
I'm getting a nice voice and atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Dime a dozen. Even, I mean, that's code for boring.
Even the way the song finishes, right? Like, it finishes quite softly. It's almost like a little, like, a wisp of smoke. And I want something to remember. I felt it was actually quite fitting for the song that it fizzled out, because that's exactly what I got from it. I'm not going to get anything from this. I'm not going to remember this. And I'm not saying she's bad, because I think she's obviously, clearly
she's
a good,
very good
performer.
Artist. No, don't get me
I thought
wrong.
It was presented very well, but the actual song, boring. Like, that, wow.
That first half of that semi-final is tough.
Yeah.
And this could easily be the second song. And when you have everything else, who the hell is going to remember this?
I know.
This is not it. This is just not it.
Yeah.
And I know it's doing pretty well on Eurovision scoreboards, yeah. And I know there's a lot of people who kind of love it, but I just think Serbia are in all sorts of trouble here.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, we've got Veronica from Slovenia. Ramonda sounds like her boring sister that I don't want to go partying with, because I've forgotten this already.
It's depressing.
If you ask me
it's
how
depressing.
This went, if you ask me how this went, I wouldn't be able to tell you. And no. I've listened to it 7 times today.
Trying to, like, yeah, exactly, trying to, like, get something from it.
A pulse.
The only thing I was going to say is I will always have a blind spot for one song about how it's going to do. And last year was Armenia. And I think it was almost like there was the people who were kind of liking Serbia kind of liked Armenia. So maybe this is something I am completely missing here, but I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be proven wrong. I'm not making any bets about my beard this year, but I don't rate this at all.
I think you're fine on this one. Your blind spot's Denmark. Well, next on our journey around Europe, Dale, we're off to the most serene republic of San Marino. And the winner of Una Voce per San Marino, this is Megara with 11-11. Well, we have a voice from San Marino, Dale, and it's in Spanish.
Yes, it is. It is. And, I mean, let's just quickly talk about that for a second, because Megara didn't win Benidorm Fest, but they won in San Marino, and Nebulosa was rejected in the audition stage of San Marino last year.
And then that is a slap in the face.
And then they won Benidorm Fest. So this swap-a-roo,
I know.
It's a bit like exes or something getting with each other. It's odd. It's incestuous.
Laura Dana will be representing Spain next year, the way it's going.
Oh, she's joking. She was going to represent Vatican City today. Look, I think I'm really pleased this act is going to Eurovision, and they do have a point of difference. I think they're kind of like punk rock style is something that is very different of in the competition. I don't think the song is as strong as what they had at Benidorm last year. Not even close, to be honest.
I'll agree on that one.
Look, I haven't been super won over by it, but I'm not against it at this stage. I kind of feel like you don't really get to show off your best kind of performance on the San Marino stage. And I think they can pull something together that will be really worthy of the Eurovision stage and very good. But I think they probably are up against it to try and qualify. I'm just not sure what the audience is here, though they will have Spain, I think, voting in their semi-final.
Absolutely. Going to be a massive help for them voting in the semi-final. I have to say, for me, this is a very modern sounding mix of rock, electro. I mean, they've even thrown a little flamenco guitar in there as well, which is quite odd. So the genre will have its fans. I wouldn't say it's something I generally gravitate to, but musically, it's not terrible or anything. I think the real strength with Megara is their visual and their visual performances. Yes. And it was in Benidorm last year, and I think it's what got them over the line this year in San Marino. So I think the potential here, if they can really make this, you know, compelling, and she is a wonderful, wonderful performer.
I agree.
Wow. Yeah. And then they had some really interesting sort of skeletal dances and stuff. So I can see concepts. So I can think they get the delivery on stage visually correct. It's going to be a little messy, let's face it, because the song's a little messy, but I think there's definitely another gear here. Whether that's enough to drag it out of a semi-final, it's a completely different story, let's face it. San Marino, not traditionally powerhouses when it comes to making grand finals, and they may be up against it a little bit here too.
Yeah, I agree. Look, the music video for this is really brilliant in this visual approach. Like, they do get visual, and their staging was fantastic in Spain last year. I totally agree. I think the thing with San Marino is I think the way the public will view it as it's the little, you know, micro state that's doing the kind of weird things at times, or it does something out there. So when you think of Senis with Flo Rida, right? And you think of Serhat, there has to be something like them to grab on for people to vote. And I think when it just ends up being something that could be from anywhere and doesn't really have a massive point of difference, then I think they might just struggle a little bit. But if others fall down and they build up, you never know.
Exactly. I agree. I do think this is good for San Marino. This is one of their stronger entries, I think, for quite a few years. Definitely better than last year's. And with a cleanup, I just don't think it's dead on arrival, but I think it's scratching at the coffin.
True. And look, I did actually think San Marino did a much better job this year. I do think there was better quality. And I think even for Pete Jacks last year, ultimately, they put on a good performance in Liverpool that was worthy of the stage, which I was a bit worried about. Ultimately, the song just wasn't good enough. They were good enough, but the song wasn't. Also, we do have to mention with this, the runner-up, Loredana Bertè.
Yeah.
Like,
with
you know.
Pazzo.
Yes. Mm. You know, she obviously she really wanted to go to Eurovision to, you know.
She really hates Björn Borg.
She really hates her ex-husband, Björn Borg. She wanted to go to Sweden and annoy him. But, like, not only did she go and probably think she had a pretty good chance of winning, like, she got dragged up on stage for the final two, and then they just dogged her. The disrespect to a legend. Let her just stay off stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think she handled it well because I thought, like, she might not.
She got a temper. She's got a temper, Dale.
She's handled it really well. She's a lot of humour. As I said, she had a picture today with Marco Mengoni, and she was saying, I'm going to represent Vatican City. And I just love that. She's taking it well, and she's milking it for all she can. But I would have just loved to have seen Loredana at Eurovision. I think people would never have got her. I think she would have almost been, like, you know, ridiculed. But I would have just loved to see Europe just try and understand Loredana.
Yeah, even if it was for San Marino. All right, Dale. Well, our last stop on our European journey is off to the far west, and it is off to Iceland. But this is our half song, because at this point, we don't know if it's going to Eurovision.
Exactly. I mean, this could change by the time the podcast gets out. That's normally what happens. We record something and news comes out. But basically, Iceland already said that Song for Kevnin this year was not going to be tied to going to Eurovision. Like, there was no automatic thing. There was going to be a winner, and then they were going to consult with the winner about going to Eurovision. Though I don't think it's completely going to be up to the artist. I think, obviously, the broadcaster is going to have a strong say in that. And because of the result, I think that's made things a little bit more complicated. Because essentially, it came down to two, and it was between Bashar Murad with Wild West and Hedda Bjork with Scared of Heights. Hedda Bjork from Eurovision 2010. Yes. Bashar Murad is a Palestinian queer artist, and obviously there was a lot of connotations with Bashar going to the contest. I think they're pretty obvious. I don't think we need to get into it.
It's a different podcast.
It's a different podcast. Mm-hmm. And ultimately had to cause quite a big shock by winning. It was like 100,000 votes to 97,000. There were some things about the votes, but it was
pretty close, actually.
It was close, but it was all about they kept the votes from the five. There was five songs and people could vote on them, and it went to super final of two. So they brought all the votes over, and then when it came down to two, the actually had a Bjork one that really comfortably.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people who were didn't vote for Bashar in the first instance voted for her, because ultimately I think they were sending some form of message.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's, we've discussed this in the past, haven't we, that in a super final, you don't necessarily have to vote for the song you like. You can vote voting for the one that's opposing. Look, interesting, isn't it? Obviously, there's political connotations all over the place. So kind of feel a bit sad for Hedda Bjork at this stage that she doesn't know if she's going, or we don't know if she's going, etc. She's won Song for Kapnan, that's all we know. But at this stage, whether she heads off to the contest, that's to be decided by the broadcaster and, I guess, public opinion and government things in Iceland. You know?
Yeah, because she did say beforehand that she did want to go. Oh,
yes.
I think because there was an issue around the SMS voting, which would never have made a big difference to the result. That's really statistically would never. It was impossible for it to make a difference. But I think that's caused this kind of other controversy there. So you've already had Bashar, who I think was definitely on a mission to go and to really, make a statement by doing that. And all power for whoever wants to do things through artistry and music. And that's Iceland's and Icelandic people's decision.
Mm-hmm.
When that wasn't chosen, voting issues happened. I think they're just trying to see what's going on. And I wonder if they're trying to see if another country is going to be confirmed before they confirm.
Yeah, it's a little bit shocked. Drama around Iceland. Iceland's normally pretty calm, collected. This is the way it goes. It's all very nice and neat.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. So that's what we're not going to kind of review and go into the song, because it may not be a Eurovision song.
Exactly.
At that point, it actually wasn't even a Eurovision national final, but we kind of still covered it as such because it's Song for Cap.
Yeah, and if it does go to the final or go to the contest, we will talk about it in our next one.
And it'll probably be an NQ.
All right, Dale. Well, we can't have that many more entries left. So what have we got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
You'd think so, but we still got a bit. There's only a few days left, but we start with on the 7th, which I don't even know what day of the week that is.
Tomorrow.
Thursday. Yeah, thank you. Greece's song comes out. Ooh. A lot of big people talking about Greece. I really hope they got a banger. They deserve it. And then we have the last national finals this weekend, which has consistently been these two for the last few years. It's almost a tradition now. So we have Sweden's Melody Festivalen.
Interesting.
And Portugal's Festival da Canção.
I have to say, Melfest, wide open for me.
I love that it's wide open, though.
Wide open. And normally you have an overwhelming favourite like last year, but you have a favourite. I don't know. I don't think a lot could happen in this one.
Yeah, true. And I think the thing is also, like, there's been a lot of chat about Melfest, but we'll talk about that the next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Georgia's entry coming out. We have Armenia's entry coming out and Azerbaijan's entry coming out. No date on those at the moment. Are we going to talk about the elephant in the room?
No. What's the elephant in the room?
I don't know. Just that, you know, controversial nation that may or may not be competing in Eurovision.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess let's be honest. Like, we were still waiting to see if Israel has a song accepted by the EBU. Apparently, we've had a couple of submissions which have been knocked back. I think the deadline is set, like everybody else, for the 11th, which is like 1 week away. So I guess we'll see how things transpire there.
Exactly. Israel did announce that they're going to be releasing their song on, I think, Sunday, and they've said they're doing that. Interestingly, the Eurovision account, when they said what's coming out for the week ahead, did not have Israel's song announcement on that listing. Basically, what that means at this point is that they're definitely in negotiations right now about whether the song's lyrical content is going to meet the rules of the contest. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. And we'll all deal with that when that happens. We deal in facts.
Yeah.
And facts will be, if Israel's in or out, will be known in a few days.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for this week from us. I guess we'll see you in a week or a couple of weeks or something. I don't know.
We'll have to obviously wait. You never know what might happen in the next week. Could be interesting for the contest. But I think obviously after the national finals and we get the songs in, we'll talk about those songs that have been done to wrap up the national final and internal selection season.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us.
And go Electric Fields.
As always, thanks for joining us and thank you for your support. You can follow us on our social media channels at AussieVisionNet.
And if you want to support the work that we and 20 AussieVision volunteers do and get some really good bonus content, then you can subscribe to our Patreon. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks very much.
Catch you later.